Ladies, bros, non-binary those, welcome back to Moonlight Kingdom Podcast. This is your man on the moon, the Moonlight King, here to tell you this is the 26th episode of Moonlight Kingdom Podcast, and it covers a wide variety of things. Avatar, Korra, Epstein Island, Barry Keoghan's Joker, and so much more. Check it out in 3, 2, 1, boom.
I don't know. I like them both as separate characters. I do like reading, you know, the crossovers they have together, but I also enjoy both of their separate little comics.
Is that so? So you see what I'm saying?
I gotcha.
So you see what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's fun. I think they're a good pairing overall. Okay, fine. Who would you prefer to be with Batman then?
If we're throwing out names here, I don't know. Wonder Woman? Or, and hear me out on this, Lois Lane.
What? How?
Why not? Well, let's get this out of the way. It is clear from the jump that Lois Lane has a thing for Superman. We all know that. But both in the animated cartoons in the animated series and in the comic books, it has been shown time again, and even in the original, like, Superman movies with Christopher Reeve, Lois Lane ain't feeling Clark Kent.
Okay, I agree with that. I feel like they were very lazy when it came to, like, Superman's story. You know, it was more of like, Lane is kind of nice, like, not nice in a way, she's like a good character, you know, like she has a different side to her. She's kind of like dogish and she'll be, you know, she doesn't like getting her hands dirty to get on the story. And I feel like Clark is just a bit of a boy next door archetype. You know what I mean?
He's kind of a dork.
Yeah, okay, he's kind of a dork. I feel like they should have done their whole story justice, you know? I feel like it's too plain and it's too predictable.
Yeah, definitely. It's that classic story of, like, the nerdy guy gets the girl. Like, yeah, like, the dude, like, there's the nerdy guy, the chick won't give him the time of day, and then he shows some other side of him, now all of a sudden she's interested, you know? It's like that. It's cliche.
Basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just how it is, man.
You said earlier that Batman was...
Combination that they did, the crossover.
What?
I think that was a good one, too.
What is?
You know when Harley Quinn and Batman had their little fling?
When was this? That right. And what happened?
And obviously, Batman didn't get with her because she's a villain. But it was a fun little crossover. And I think that it kind of fulfills the enemies to lovers trope that you are speaking about.
I don't see it though, man. He doesn't really have a thing for crazy chicks. crazy dudes, sure, but, you know.
I mean, Catwoman is kind of a wild character.
No, she just has a gimmick. There's no eccentricity beyond that. She's just a woman with a gimmick who likes shiny things. Because the writer realized that cats like shiny things. So I'm gonna write a cat woman. Yeah, she's gonna steal stuff because cats like shiny stuff, right? Yeah.
Well, it also depends on like her backstory. The reason she likes shiny things. She didn't come from a great background.
She didn't necessarily have the best costumes either back in the day. I mean, yeah, now it makes sense, but like back in those days, it was just a weird purple dress with cat ears on it.
Hey, for real, the worst Catwoman I've ever like watched has to be Anne Hathaway.
Really?
I hated Anne Hathaway's Catwoman. They were trying to. I don't know what's the word. I think that Catwoman is a sexualized character altogether. But they were just trying to feminize her too much with Anne Hathaway's version of Catwoman.
I take it you haven't seen the Halle Berry Catwoman movie.
I have.
And somehow Anne Hathaway is worse than that.
Well, I think with Halle Berry's version, which I like the best personally, it was more in terms of the female gaze.
Go on.
I don't know. It was like not man focused. You know, she was a bit more of a prudish person. And she was kind of, you know, too, I don't know, closed up and too lacking in confidence, and I feel like that's what she needed. But, like, I don't know, I don't like Anne Hathaway's version. I just don't know, it irritates me. She doesn't play the character well. I don't know. It just doesn't give me Catwoman.
Personally, I don't hate her Catwoman. It's her Selina Kyle that kind of bugs me because they're trying to play it like this woman is, you know, she's from the streets. She grew up in like hardship and she had to pickpocket and steal to scheme to survive. And she's this like hardened criminal. Except I don't buy it. You expect me to believe this woman is some.
Catwoman has never been that.
Yeah.
That's Selina Kyle. Yes, she had a hard background. But she was very timid in her youth, you can say. If anything, you know, Catwoman is more so used as symbolism for, you know, the transformation that women go through when they stop living by society's standards of them.
That's more along the. It kind of draws back to Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman in Batman Returns. And, like, the difference between when she was Selina Kyle and when she had the mask on.
Exactly. I think that was actually one of the best portrayals of Selina Kyle. Even the outfit was nice.
That was just full-on, like, leather gear.
Yeah, and, like, the stitching and stuff. But it was cool, you know? It wasn't overly sexualized. It more so fit into the comic version of what Catwoman is supposed to look like.
Not at the time, you know? Though. I mean, keep in mind, back in those days, so. Batman was still blue and gray back then, so. Just saying, the movies were a departure from the comic book, if anything.
Hey, I get you. But I liked Michelle Pfeiffer's line.
Yeah. Though I do wonder one thing. Okay, because back in those days, when it came to, like, printing and whatnot for the comics, they couldn't really print the color black to, like, show hair and whatnot, and the color gray. So they would put in the color blue in its place to show, like, this character has black hair. which is why a lot of comic book characters have blue hair back in those days. So I'm wondering, okay, if blue was used to show black, does that mean that, was Batman's costume actually blue and gray, or was it just black that they couldn't show?
I think that Batman is black. And also, wasn't Catwoman in a, like a purplish outfit?
Yeah. Yeah, that was it.
So she was also meant to be black. But was Superman meant to be blue then?
Yes, that is very clear. His outfit didn't change till he died, so. And he came back in that badass black and silver gear. Which you can tell was made in the 90s because he's got a mullet to go with it.
I getcha.
Yeah.
I don't know. Catwoman is a weird guy, so I love Catwoman because it was like the first movie of like DC I ever watched, you know? And like really liked. And also I think me and her like relate to each other, man. I don't know, I see myself as pretty like that. You know, I cut my hair to look like her.
Okay. I don't know why someone.
She has short hair.
In some, yeah, that's true. But that's like fit under the mask.
Yeah, I really like that about her kind stuff. Because a lot of the women in DC were drawn with long hair, right? And I feel that that's like such a different thing that they did. But she still like retained some femininity. If anything, she's one of the more feminine characters in DC.
Realistically, she still has to fit her head under the mask, so. A ton of hair would get in the way.
So she's a practical girl, you know?
Unlike that Batwoman with that flowing red hair busting out of the thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
That always confused me. Because, like, we can see the mask. I would always be confused, like, okay, so you have the mask on. Where's the hair coming out? Like, because that's a lot of hair. Like... Oh, jeez. But on the show, they actually explained that... Cause also, it's weird, because on the Batwoman TV show, I saw Ruby Rose, and it's like, Ruby Rose has short hair, and Batwoman has like this like bright, flowing red hair, so how are they going to pull that off? And they explained that the reason they did that... It's actually a wig. The reason she wears that wig was to show that... Well, it was to, A, throw the scent off of her so that, you know, cops and whatever would be looking for a red-headed woman. And B, it was to showcase that this is, in fact, a woman doing this stuff, not Batman. Because before she had that hair, people were like, Batman is back, you know, like, because she was still wearing the Batman getup. But, yeah.
Is
that
woman's Cassandra?
Cassandra Cain, yeah.
Yeah. And there's also Barbara.
That's Batgirl.
Oh, right, I forget. I always get confused between them.
Oh, I hit this. This should clear it up. One wears purple, the other is black and red.
All right. You think Ruby Rose made a good Batwoman?
Oh, 100%. I totally believed it, and that's saying
that's a fun thing too.
Yeah.
You know, I recently met somebody, and they said that Ruby Rose was too masculine.
She's freaking Batwoman. How is?
That's my point. She's literally going out there and fighting crime, and you know, so obviously she's not going to be some feminine lady in heels or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that. One thing, there was this episode. You were saying?
No, carry on.
I was like, there was this episode that kind of made me laugh because she like saves this dude and like he's laying on his back and she's on top of him and she's like, are you okay? And this crowd around thinks they're about to kiss, so they're like chanting, kiss him, and he goes for it. She's like, nah, and she gets off. The very next day, like, the radio shows is like, is Batwoman a lesbian? Because, like, she was, like, on top of one of Gotham's eligible bachelors, and she wanted none of that. So does that mean she's a lesbian? Like, fuck's sake, where do you get that? How do you go from, she's not feeling this dude too, well, she must be a lesbian then. Like, just, I mean, she is a lesbian, but still, that's a huge leap.
You're not crazy, man.
Yeah. Plus, you know, there are those dudes out there that just be like, damn, this woman's not into me. Ah, she must be a lesbian then. That's the only explanation.
I don't know. That's because men are like that. Everything is centered around them and their needs. You know what I mean?
As a fellow guy, I'm going to chime in here and say, did you seriously just ask me that?
Yes.
Did you just ask me this about men? Like, what the...
Male. You should be agreeing with me.
I mean, damn. It's this. Move on, though.
Take another topic, then.
Well, you ever see that movie Saltburn?
Wait, what? Did you say Saltburn?
Yes, have you seen Saltburn?
I love Saltburn. I loved it.
Well, I haven't seen it. I heard something about bathwater, and I just, like... Someone said something about, like, bathwater and dude humping a grave. Is that true?
Yes, but it's like, obviously, those things are traumatic, but because they're a bit gay, they're a bit more better. You know what I mean?
So, because the dead guy is a guy, and the guy humping the dirt is also a guy, that makes it okay?
Yeah.
So,
you'll like it. You will definitely like that movie.
So, if the person in the ground was a woman, this would be weird?
Well, it depends on the relationship.
No, that's
the two people.
That's sexism right there.
For example.
That's some sexism right there.
It would be fine.
No, that's...
Obviously, if it was a random dude, then it might not be so fine.
Oh. So the necrophiliac knew the person, makes it okay.
I don't know, man. It depends on if the dead person would have wanted it, you know?
The dead person would have wanted somebody humping the dirt?
Just watch it. It's a good movie.
I don't know, man. Seems sus.
Need to watch it, okay? First of all, it's Jacob Elordi. Who doesn't like Jacob Elordi?
Is that the guy from Red,
also,
White, and...
The same people that made Barbie worked on this movie.
Well, gee, I don't remember the scene of Barbie humping anybody's grave. Was that a deleted scene I don't know about?
It's told through the female gay. And I think it's, I don't know, it talks a lot about feminism and classism. So it's good. It's a good movie.
Hmm.
I think you should watch it.
I will look into it. I'll wait till it gets on the usual sources, and then I'll check it out.
Sure. Anyways.
Barry Keoghan.
He's very good looking, yes.
Have you seen him in The Batman?
Yes.
He's not good looking there now, is he?
Okay, true. No, wait. He is, though.
What?
He played the Joker, right?
Yes.
He was good looking.
No, he wasn't. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, he was in prison, right? And he was being interviewed. And I think that crazy, depraved look on his eye was good looking.
I think you may be confusing Barry Keoghan with Paul Dano.
Well, Oh, no. No, it was Barry Keoghan.
What color was his hair?
It wasn't green.
It wasn't green? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And his face. Describe his face.
You know, I'm just going to Google it.
You do that. I'm sure, yeah, you do that. I'm starting to think you may have confused the Riddler and the Joker here. That is not good looking. It looks like someone... It looks like someone set his head on fire and put it out with a shovel.
I don't know. I like the Joker.
I'm sick of him. I'm not even kidding.
Who is Joker?
I'm not... Honestly, man, like, it's cliche, but damn, dude, Heath Ledger was menacing as fuck. But I will give Joaquin Phoenix his props. He wasn't the Joker. He was the dude who would go on to inspire the Joker. At least that's what WB be saying. But, like, he had his moments where it was like, okay, I could totally see this dude becoming the Joker. But, you know, like, Heath Ledger, man. He, right there, that was his movie.
Like the OG, man. He played the best Joker ever, and it literally killed him.
No, it didn't. That stopped saying. People need to stop saying that. That is a malicious rumor that needs to stop spreading, man. That role did not kill Heath Ledger.
Because he had a lot of mental issues.
Well, the man didn't die from mental issues, man.
In the Joker movie, put him in a dark place because he was playing such a dark character.
Is that your personal theory? Because I can shoot holes in it.
Okay, fine. What bullets do you have? Send them my way.
Michael Jai White, he worked on The Dark Knight. You know, he was that black gangster that got killed by the Joker. He has his stories where, like, in between, like, the scenes, there was a scene where, like, the mob bosses and everything were having a meeting, and, you know, and, like, he was there. He saw Heath Ledger there, too, in, like, full makeup. Everybody saw him on their way in. And then, Michael Jai White asked Chris Nolan, like, when's Heath's scene being filmed? And he's like, he doesn't have a scene today. What? Like, no, he just came here, like, to see how y'all were doing, like, how you guys were going on. And because he wanted everybody to, like, see the makeup so they wouldn't be freaked out when they saw it the first time around. You telling me those are the actions of a nut? A guy who's losing his grip? Is that what you're saying?
Okay.
Is that a man in a dark place, huh?
How often have people said that they've noticed signs before somebody killed themselves? Not really. If anything, people who are in a darker place and who are suicidal actually are happier when around people.
No one said he was happy.
Not happy, but generally a nicer person, a more generous person.
He was always that guy. Ask anybody who worked with him. Like, people who worked on, like, Brokeback Mountain and, like, I think it was this Lords of Dogtown where, like, he was a solid dude. Ask anybody who ever met him. They'll tell you he was a solid guy, and he was a solid guy in Dark Knight. When he was the character, he was the character, but, like, in between takes, he didn't stay loony.
The people who are suicidal are usually nice guys.
He was not suicidal. He died as an accident.
Himself.
His death was an accident.
He killed himself.
Suicide. Dude, the dude had a wife and kid. He was currently, at the time, he was filming another movie. Like, the dude did not offer himself. I'm not saying that's not a reason to do anything. I'm just saying the idea that the role was so much for him that it caused him to lose his mind is nonsense. Because at the time of his death, he had been done filming the Joker for a while. He was filming
things like Xanax and anxiety medication when he was doing this Joker. And that's the same medication that he overdosed on.
Exactly. That was an accidental overdose. The man did not plan this shit.
I think he did.
That is...
Also, I heard a theory that he was actually killed.
For what? That's some nonsense, man.
He knew something.
He knew something. Get out of here. That is some...
I
refuse to continue to, sanction this buffoonery that dude offed himself. The man did not off himself. This is fucked up. Yeah, no arguments here. Red Hood is pretty dope.
Yeah, he is the troubled son and everything that Batman could have been. That's what he represents.
Yeah,
Not to mention, he literally just sorted out the crime issue in Gotham. When he went to prison, the suicide rate literally increased tenfold because people didn't want to even be there with him.
It's also reminiscent that he's kind of a living reminder of Batman's biggest failure and
what the Joker did.
Yeah. But it also pisses me off whenever I watch Under the Red Hood or I read Death in the Family. It's dude, the Joker killed Robin and you still letting him live? You're still letting him live, man? You could at least cripple him, you know? Just
Richard, even Dick went out and was like, if you were ever to be killed, I would go mayhem for all of these people. And now this happened to Jason, he's dead, and you're just there. That was his time to shine. For real.
Yeah.
Nightwing really popped off in that show.
Yeah, really, it did. If there was ever a time for Batman to snap and try to kill somebody, that was it. He was well within his rights to.
Honestly. The fact that the Joker did so much. Literally ruined Batman's whole life,
traumatized his kids, and he still refuses to kill him. It's shocking.
If anybody deserves to die, it's him.
The idea that, Batman doesn't want to kill people because he believes, this is mainly a Daredevil thing, but why he doesn't kill, he believes there's hope. And the capacity for change and all that, he is more hopeful in why he doesn't kill people. But with Batman, it's just a case of all life is precious, even the thing, even criminals. But no, dude, the law is clear. Once you violate someone else's right to live, you kind of forfeit yours.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't say that anywhere, but it heavily hints that.
There's stupid things if you kill a criminal, you're just replacing them. But honestly, just kill two criminals then, you know what I mean?
Well, that's some...
That's all I say.
Complex logic there. There was, this thing you said about, Jason actually questioned him, why can't you kill this dude? Why, it's too hard?
Yeah.
And Batman is like, nah, it would be too easy. You know, I would just, subject him to every possible...
That was such a stupid speech, to be honest.
It was! Because it would be too easy.
Yeah,
So
now what? He literally tortured and killed your son. Literally. And this is what you're saying, yeah. Honestly...
I'm just saying, let's be real, he never really liked Jason Todd. Just saying.
Like any of them,
No, that's true. That's not true. He liked Dick Grayson. He liked the first Robin.
That was literally the only one he liked.
Yeah.
I think the person he just likes the most is his actual son.
Yes. Yes. So true. Hated him the most. Like, what the heck, man? You love your surrogate son?
That's why he turns into the person who he becomes.
Yeah.
He literally just becomes a banana there.
I mean, not necessarily. Not necessarily. I mean, depending how you look at it.
He doesn't become a banana. He does what that man could never have done. Should I say?
What bothers me though, like that whole spiel about like, if like you know, if you kill one of them, like if you kill one person, there'll be another, and then another. No, dude, no, that's not how that works. That's not how murder works. Like sometimes.
Yeah, literally, just kill two or three. Finish.
No, you don't even have to get two or three. Just kill the Joker and call it a day. You can do that. People do it all the time. Like. Man, he acts like if he kills the Joker, suddenly he's going to be filled with this bloodlust and he's going to kill all his villains. Like, that's not how that works, dude. You got to kill like a few people before you can get bloodlust, man. Shit. But yeah. Like, Batman doesn't kill people.
That's why.
Yeah.
Catwoman leaves him. Who didn't he kill? What was his name? Hush?
Yeah, Hush.
He was basically the Riddler.
Basically, yeah.
How he just, like, saved him. Literally, he wasn't even killing him. He was just gonna fall to death by his own doing. And he still saved him.
Like, you could tell Catwoman was not having that. Like, she was absolutely not studying this bullshit. Like, no. Like, are you nuts, dude?
Crazy.
Because, like, her perspective, it's like, this dude tried to kill you and me, and you're still saving him? Get the hell out of here. Like, he was dying. Like, he was going to fall to his death. You wouldn't have murdered him. Like, we were in the clear, and you had to, like, save him. Why? Just... I criticize that whole thing about like killing people because Batman, I don't think he doesn't kill people because I don't know, I don't think he's strong in that he doesn't kill people. I think he's weak. He's weaker than everyone else. Because
he is.
Yeah, he doesn't kill people because he is weak.
As a child or something, maybe.
I get that, but like in DC, who isn't? I mean, think about it. Who isn't?
Yeah, true, true. Mostly everyone is traumatized there.
Yeah.
But they still know when to kill a mother, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. There are those, they do know, like, okay, this person is beyond saving. There's no saving this person, they just gotta go down. Like, it was.
One such person is Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I love her, let me tell you.
She got no qualms putting people down.
She has no chill.
Yeah.
If you do the deed, you will pay for the deed.
Yeah.
And that's funny because everybody considers her to be morally superior, you know? Like, she's like a bit of a Superman archetype where she's, you know, all about justice and honor.
Well, yeah, to be fair, she is about that. She's not just, you know, offing people wholesale. She only takes them down when they need to be... if they can't be taken down peacefully, then it's like, okay, he's gotta go. You know? That's how it goes.
You know who she reminds me of?
What?
Kiyoshi from Avatar. That woman had no choice.
That woman was offing people from the jump. There was no...
I loved Avatar Kyoshi, let me tell you. You remember when Aang was, like, giving it to Ozai at the end, and, like, he grabbed his beard and everything?
Yep.
I just know Kyoshi was in there being channeled. She said, move aside. It's my time now.
Well, yeah, it is possible. I mean, the avatars, like the past avatars have stepped in few instances, like when Roku firebended Aang out of that Fire Nation temple.
I don't know what I hear about Roku, okay? He got defeated by a bloody volcano.
And
he's the weakest link.
And this is a dude who could bend lava. Just...
Exactly.
I think
remember when he went on that whole spiritual journey, you know, with Aang and by showing him the past. I was like, what? Please bring Kyoshi in here. Please. That woman literally throws the water in a man's lungs.
Yeah.
Imagine if she learned bloodbending. Finished. They would all be finished. That is blood.
I think she was... Out of all the avatars, like, she lived the longest. Because she was, like, 100 and something when she died.
Precisely. But, like, no... And in her time, she was, like, hidden because they thought some other dude was the avatar who lied and stuff. And she was just, like, a peasant in the Earth Kingdom and often nobody really knew about her. And she hid, like, her powers, obviously, her bending. So I think her story is just so cool, you know? She literally rose to the top. Then she was, like, not even, like, known to the avatar. She was just known as, like, a warmonger. She literally just went left, right, and center, killing all of these tyrants.
Yeah, and you could tell the Fire Nation was afraid, because, like, their expansion didn't really kick into effect until... Like, she was gone. They knew... It didn't kick into effect till they knew for sure that she was gone.
True.
Because you know, like...
You know the friends I told you that were bad friends?
What? The therapy people?
Yeah, they just sent a message. I'm not gonna answer it. They must wait.
Yeah. It's understandable.
Yeah, you know... Yeah, why should I?
I didn't know they had
it. She was also a bad avatar.
Technically. I mean, not... Oh, nobody's perfect when you think about it. Everybody's dodgy. Every avatar was dodgy in some way.
Okay, yes, but the hint that Korra gets is, like, so unfair. Like, in my opinion, Korra is one of the best avatars.
True. I'll give it up to Korra. She is, but I don't like how, like, naive she is in those early goings. Like, it's, what's weird is, like, she's the avatar. Everybody knows she's known she's the avatar since she was a kid, but, like, even though she's all grown up, there's still a lot she doesn't know.
She was literally bending fire, air, everything. At a young age. She was literally like a protege.
I get that. I'm just saying, like, she's known she's the Avatar since she was a kid, but when we see her all grown up, there's still some stuff she doesn't know. That I'm not a fan of. Like,
well, I mean, true. But also we need to understand the society she grew up in, you know, because it was almost like she was seen as a terrorist and like a threat to this carefully balanced world they created. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I
do. It's like she couldn't find her place.
It would have to be. We got like a hint of that in Last Airbender when like Aang found out he was the Avatar. Then the other kids found out and they like didn't want to play with him anymore. Which made no sense.
Yeah, the other day, guys. Listen to this. You know how Aang was in the trapped in ice for 112 years, guys?
Yeah.
And so obviously, he survived past his lifespan. Do you know who the next avatar after Aang was supposed to be?
Oh.
Prince Princess Yoon. You know the Sokka's girlfriend that became a moon's first?
Did she die?
Yes, when she was born, she was a stillborn.
I know
and
that.
Also, the next avatar after Aang was supposed to be from the Water Tribe. Aang was supposed to have lived and died, but instead he got trapped in that ice, and that's why he lived past his lifespan. And Yoon was meant to be the next vessel for the, what do you call it? You know that spirit, the avatar spirit. But because Aang was still alive, she ended up being stillborn, and they had to put her by the moon spirits to bring her to life. But she was meant to be the next avatar. Isn't that weird?
Eerie. Definitely strange. Definitely a unique, interesting theory to think about.
I think it's cool, though, because it makes sense.
But she can't bend, though.
Yeah, but she was supposed to be the avatar, and she was a stillborn.
Yeah, that's... She was... What concerns me, that there was, there was, in Korra, there was this thing, something about, like, you know, ever since the first show, it was like, oh, if you die during, when you're in the avatar state, like, there will be no more avatars. But in Korra, there was, like, an episode where something was happening. I don't remember the specifics, but, like, you could, Korra was, like, on the verge of death, and you could see all the past avatars disappearing. She didn't die, but, like, all, like, the past lives were, like, seemingly being erased by something. And, like, she came back from it. She survived that, clearly, but when she did, she was, like, she couldn't feel the past, you know, avatars anymore. So I'm confused. Does that mean that Korra is the last avatar? You know, like, or doesn't it? Or yeah. Whatever. It's never, that never, I don't think that's ever really explained, but, like, you know, maybe. If that were the case, do you think it's a good way to, like, close out that universe, like, with Korra being the last avatar?
Hey, I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't know. Did she do... Okay, let's look at the first avatar, guys. What was his name? Yoon or something like that. Or Yang. Yang. Avatar Yang. And he basically stuck.
Hello?
First avatar literally just was the whole thing by just placing, by just being in the wrong place, wrong time, and doing something stupid by separating those two spirits. So, I don't know, and because of that, he had to take responsibility for it by becoming the avatar. But what Korra did was that she took away the separation from the spirit and the real world. So, I don't know, man. I don't think she should have done that. Do you think she should have done that?
Well, that barrier was put up for a reason. I mean, the spirits being
precisely
in our world can be a good thing because it means the connection between, like, humankind and, like, their spirituality is, you know, it's stronger than it's ever been. Because you have the ability to, like, point and say, like, look, you know, there is an afterlife. There is something beyond this. And it strengthens people's faith. But on the downside, there's also evil spirits in there. And now they're coming and going as they please. So
I think she should have just left that barrier off, right? To be honest, but I don't know. I think that maybe a world is created where the Avatar isn't needed anymore, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm guessing that's like the goal of all of this.
Ultimately, yeah, you would hope it is, because the Avatar serves as a bridge between the two worlds. If we no longer need the Avatar, that means the two worlds are at peace with each other. So,
yeah, but then there's also another Avatar after Korra. So if she removed this barrier, she's no longer needed, and the Avatar position is no longer required, then why is there an Earth Avatar?
Not necessarily. That's not necessarily the case. The Avatar isn't solely a bridge between the two worlds. They're like a peacekeeper. That's why they're a peacekeeper between the nations. That's why they have the abilities of each nation. They're the median between all of them. They're like, I don't know, can't really compare it to anything. I don't know, they're like Oprah or something, you know? I can't... You try thinking of somebody that everybody can get along with, you know, like, just...
You know how Oprah ran away?
What do you mean?
You know she was on Epstein's Island, right?
I've seen a list. I don't remember her being on it, but yeah... Not surprising. One would hope she would disappear after that. You know, disappear for a while, let the accusations die.
All of that is seeing Stephen Hawking. What was he doing there?
Apparently he had a thing for, like, minis.
For what?
You know, the minis, the little people.
Oh. But I'm saying, this man can't... He has to move his eyeballs to type on a computer to talk through a robot voice.
He can still see. He can still, like, ask the minis to do stuff.
That is disgusting, man.
That's apparently what he did. Apparently he liked to watch.
That was just the most shocking thing. Cameron Diaz was on the list.
So?
I love Cameron Diaz. How could you be on the list?
I don't think that really means anything. You know, like, it just...
Oh, and what's her name? I forget now. What's her name? The person that played Galadriel from Lord of the Rings.
Galadriel.
Galadriel, you know, the female elf with the long blonde hair.
Female elf, what, Tilda Swinton?
Oh?
I don't know. I don't have frame of reference for who that is, like...
Okay, wait, I'm gonna go and Google her, right?
Galadriel.
Kate Blanchett.
Really?
Who was there?
Kate Blanchett. That's surprising.
I'm very upset by this list. Honestly,
I'm disappointed by this list, really. I was expecting, like, I don't know, more interesting names, man. It was just like, there was the odd surprise there, like, oh, Stephen Hawking likes minis, and, you know, Chris Tucker's there too. Like, just, there was a list of names, but, like, it wasn't this huge bombshell thing that everybody, you know, was thinking it would be. And, like, people were named, yeah, but, like, what has happened since then? Were they dragged into jail? Were they publicly shamed? Were they cancelled? Were they Me Too'd? No! You were on the list, and then nothing. Like, okay, whatever. They're on the list. They still have their jobs. Their reputations are unaltered, largely. Just... nothing.
I don't know, man.
And what's really disappointing is that the one guy everybody thought was gonna be on the damn list wasn't. So that's like, that was disappointing too. Just damn. Who do you think is running for president? Who do you think?
He was there.
No, he wasn't.
I'm telling you, he was.
And I'm saying he wasn't. This is from, like, the list and everything. They asked the women who were there, like, was this dude here? Did he touch you? Did he, like, do anything? He wasn't even there. Like, he was never there. Yes, he was friends with Epstein. They rode on planes and shit together, but, like, he never came down. But everybody thought he would be because of the whole, you know, that old pink hat fiasco.
Yeah.
That still makes me laugh.
I don't know. It's just a weird situation.
That still makes me laugh, though. Just that whole, that pink hat thing. Not what he did, but, like, the response to it. Like, we are outraged. We are gonna protest this man by wearing bright pink hats on our head that look like genitalia. Just... And we want you to take this seriously. I'm sorry. No. I can't take that seriously. They all look so goofy.
I get you.
Oh, man. If those women who, like, marched for women's rights and who were in, like, the suffrage movement saw this shit, they would be spinning in their graves. Spinning!
Oh, yeah, man. They're like, what do we fight for all this time?
Yeah, like, this is... if weird enough, there was a dude who, like, went through the civil rights movement who had just that experience. You know, back in those days, you weren't allowed to sit on this side of the restaurant or use this restroom or whatever. So, it's like, the civil rights movement has ended. All those signs and rules have been abolished. You can now eat at, like, what used to be whites-only restaurants. So he goes into a formerly whites-only restaurant, he orders a meal, and he eats it, and he is disappointed. Because the way he tells it is like, we got assaulted by cops, mistreated, and, like, racially prejudiced for this? Like, this food isn't even that good.
I can just imagine the lack of seasoning.
Yes! That was one of the things he complained about. There was no flavor, there was no spice, nothing. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, Leto. White people literally colonized the whole earth for spices and resources and didn't learn nothing. They didn't use any of it.
That's so disappointing, man. Just, wow. I mean, I don't mean to laugh at this guy's misfortune, but still, dude, this is hilarious. Like, we fought for this, like, stale-ass food? Just, man. Oh, dude.
Ended up going back to POC and black-owned restaurants instead.
Exactly. Damn. It's like, you would...
And then the white people went there too.
Yeah, that was a downside. But a part of me just has to, like, think to myself, like, they wouldn't even mention the damn lunch counters if they knew how bad the food was. Like, you can keep the whites-only restaurant. We're good. We actually have seasoning on this side, so. But yeah.
I'm telling you.
Damn, though, man. Like, you're right, though. It's weird. It is so weird how people who conquered India don't know anything about spices and shit. Like.
Literally, for years. They held us prisoner. Stole everything.
Except the recipes.
Except the seasonings. What should I say? The knowledge of seasonings. They did steal seasonings. But I don't know. You know what they used to do instead?
What?
Like, let's say pineapples and stuff didn't grow in the UK. They used to buy pineapples and use them as decoration.
Well, that's just stupid.
As a way to say, you see, I have a pineapple, so I'm richer and more cultured than you are. And it used to be rotten.
Of course it was rotten. It had to go all the way from India to the UK, like...
But that's what they did, man. You know, when I
Before we get into that, you know, future man here to pop in and say, this is about as stupid as when Americans, like, they string bits of popcorn together and use it to decorate a Christmas tree. Do you want ants? Do you want ants in your freaking house? Because that's how you get ants.
You know why there's, like, a lack of mummies in Egypt?
I think there would be a lot, considering all the pharaohs who died, but go on.
Okay, this gets weird, so I'm gonna, like, skip ahead quite a bit to something a little less macabre. Or more macabre. We'll see.
Responsibility or duty of POC, the woman, to educate this person. But I think that that opportunity should be offered instead. Because we're all human. But, you know, it's not rocket science. It's like, off, you know?
So you say cancellation is ineffective at what it aims to do, which is like to...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's just causing more hate and harm. And what we should be doing is supporting each other and coming to, to an understanding, you know, what people are going through, why things are the way they are. I think that's more effective overall.
Plus, it's also non-effective as it used to be. Like, because back in the day, you'd find out someone was canceled, and you'd see, like, an immediate change in, like, their subscribers, and, like, the number of people who like their videos.
Yeah,
like,
these days.
Yeah, now you find out someone's canceled, and it's like, oh, okay. I guess he's gonna take a week off and he'll be back later or something, because you want proof of how ineffective cancellation is? Look at James Charles. How many times did he get canceled and he's still here?
Oh my gosh.
Just saying, he's been canceled a lot. And he's still here.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of boring, darling, because the first time was the best one, because there was, like, there was an apology video, there was, like, his subscribers went down, his views went down, there was, like, a legit impact. I think he made, like, two apology videos. Like, he made a video responding to the video, so, like, yes, it was that fucking bad. So just, oh man, the first one was so fun, because when I saw, like, that a video, he's like, no, he made a video addressing the reasons for, like, the cancellation, and I liked it, because, like, I don't say this a lot, but he looked really good in that video. Like, his hair was nice, his makeup was all done up, he looked really good, which shows, like, okay, I'm like, it kind of showed more than anything that he's taking this seriously, because he's trying to look good in this video, as opposed to, like, later videos where it's like it seems like he just put a tripod on and, like, just started talking.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's been so normalized now that it just lost its meaning, you know.
Yeah, I have more respect when someone films an apology video and you can see, like, they're taking this seriously, because, like, they're, like, dressed in a reasonable way. They're not, like...
Yeah,
they're actually, like, talking, as opposed to, like, using buzzwords. Like, I'm taking this... like, I understand what I've done is affecting my community. I apologize for anyone who may have been offended, and I'm gonna use this time off to better myself. It's like, fuck you! You're reading that off some cue card somewhere. Like, take time off to better yourself? Really? Are you actually gonna do that, or are you just gonna stop working for a while? Like, dude.
You're just gonna take a vacation.
Exactly. You're just gonna take a few weeks off, and then you'll be back and pretend like it didn't happen. That shows how insincere this shit is. And that's why I say Jim Charles' first apology, like the first cancellation, was the best one. Because when he did come back, he didn't pretend like it didn't happen. He acknowledged, like, hey, I've been gone for a while. Like, you know why. And I've changed. I mean, not really, but
of, like, you know, the fact that he acknowledged, like, yeah, that was messed up. I understand I had to go away for a bit, but now I'm back. And, like, we're going to try to, you know, things aren't going to go back to the way they were, but we're going to try to get, like, some level of a new normalcy. And then that next cancellation happened, but, like, that's a whole other thing. He looked ridiculous in that apology video, though. Like, just...
That dude looked like a freaking bird landed in his head and nested there for days. And after a while, he just decided, screw it, I guess I'll do the apology video with the bird. And then right before the camera started rolling, the bird took off. But before he could do anything about it, the camera was recording. So, yeah, his head looked ridiculous in that role. Like, damn. Like, I don't know. What's with this chicken coop style that people be having nowadays, man? I do not get it.
This, I don't think any thought went into this. I think it was a case of, oh, people online don't like this thing I did. I need to apologize, not opposed to actually, like, you know, let me address this. It was more a case of, hey, I'm sorry for what I did.
I think they just think that, I don't know, as I said, normalized. So when, you know, they called out on things, like, it's just like routine now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like an everyday routine. Finished.
That second apology came across as so insincere. But personally for me, it was because of how he looked. Like his hair was a mess. It just felt like, I don't know, like he rolled up that day and just did this thing as like an afterthought. But it was also because the reason the second one felt so insincere was because he was on the show Instant Influencer, and like the most recent episode, he was teaching them how to do an apology video. So, you know, it just seemed so, no matter how genuine this may seem, the timing of it all just seems, you know, you get what I'm saying.
He was doing lots of tutorial.
Yeah.
That's it. With any influencer or what or celebrity does an apology video, they're just literally just parroting off each other, and that's it.
You know, like, when
people are like, yeah, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. What kind of apology videos do you like? Because I find the ones that are most funny are the ones where they cry. They're like sitting there, like struggling to breathe. Too. Like, look, I know.
The girl that played the ukulele.
That was whack. That shit was whack. Oh my god. You made a song. You took your apology video and turned it into a song. Like, that is the biggest, I don't give a shit, I'm just saying this to say this thing. You're not taking this seriously.
Like, the name,
no. I don't know the story.
Singing skit.
Yeah, something sings. I don't know, man. Like, the ukulele chick, that was some bullshit, man. Look at Jake Paul had a more.
Like, what?
Yeah.
The only thing I groomed was my dog.
Man. Logan Paul's apology video was more sincere. And it was just, he just filmed that in his bedroom, like what appeared to be his bedroom. So just like, look at Joe Rogan had a more sincere apology video. And it was bullshit. He filmed it.
Travis Scott.
Hey, he was in the bathroom. He was filming in the bathroom. What the fuck?
It literally looked like he was doing a fast trap.
Dude, I don't.
He was like 2-for-1 special.
I mean, goddamn, dude. Like,
literally died.
I laughed so hard. Like, bro, are you for real now? Someone may have died, and you're like pooling in the toilets. Like, what the hell? This couldn't wait? You couldn't, like, film in the car or something? Like, did you have to do this here? Damn, man. Talk about not.
Like, honestly, I prefer the bed.
Yeah, but like,
if you were lying in bed, I would have preferred that, but not the bottle.
Yeah, no, man, like, at least with Joe Rogan's apology video, you could tell he didn't give a fuck. He was apologizing just to apologize, because he filmed his while he was out jogging. Like, so,
like,
you might as well.
Yeah, like, hey, you know, I mean, I'm out here anyway. I may as well, you know. It was so bad. He had to film an apology for the apology. And this was like a proper video, because he was like, he was sitting in his office. He was like dressed properly. And he positioned the camera like really far away so it could see everything. It was like he was hosting a podcast for himself. Like, oh, now you apologize, like, properly, because people ain't listening to your shit now. Like, now you want to be sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's the only thing they care about.
I just care that...
care about the
people. Honestly, man, I just care that dude said, I'm sorry, like, an actual I'm sorry, not I'm sorry.
Whenever I see an apology video, I'm just here for the comedy show, man.
Yeah.
I just want to laugh.
Thing is, I
just want to be that
skill. I'm down to accept someone's apology if they actually acknowledge, like, here's what I did, and I know it was fucked up, and I'm sorry. Don't give me this crap that you're going to go away to work on yourself. We know you're not doing that. Just say, I'm sorry, that won't happen again. And then make sure that it doesn't. So, you know, fuck.
I don't know. They just get too good at it all.
Or at the very least, make sure you don't get caught doing it again. I mean, if you're going to get busted for some new crap. Not the same old crap you got busted for the first time. Damn.
Improvise the scene.